I'm Luke Koenig with the McCain Institute, and you're in the arena with leaders and citizens who are taking character-based action.
We're in the arena with Sukaina El-Haram. She's from Morocco, McCain Institute Next Generation Leader, a well-established civil society leader in her country and beyond. And, you know, we're catching up to her right at the end of her year-long experience, but I want to take a step back. Civil society leader anywhere, I think, entails a journey. Tell us a little bit about yours.
Of course. Well, thank you, Luke, for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here and to be on your podcast. To tell you and to give you a little bit of a background, I am a civil society activist from Morocco, where I'm from, and it has been a long journey. I started activism when I was in school, and actually my family wasn't that enthusiastic about it.
No,
no, they weren't. I believe, like all parents, they just wanted me to focus on my education, which I did.
Right.
But still, I think being involved with NGOs and civil society organizations has helped a lot shape who I am today. Through working with a lot of international organizations, like Junior Chamber International, like the Global Chambers with the World Economic Forum, like Enactus, these and so many other organizations, I believe that was a huge part of the work I'm doing right now and of the work my leadership action plan is based on.
So, you know, my strong sense is you believe civil society can and should be better in Morocco and lots of places. But within that, is it a real emphasis on human rights, or what is it that you really are wanting to kind of activate or improve the most?
Well, all my work, all the work I've done with these organizations, it was with a view from a cross sector, not only human rights, but economic empowerment, youth empowerment, capacity building, international leadership, international development. So we tried to be part and to take initiative into launching disruptive programs when it comes to empowering the people and the activists that we were working with in order to tackle the issues they most care about.
That makes great sense. So I want to get to Atlanta here shortly, because it sounds like you can talk about Atlanta a little bit. But, you know, how did it come about for you to come to the McCain Institute? I know it was, you know, you competed with 1,400 other applicants and became one of 10 because of your ideas. But how did it fit for you kind of personally and professionally, this opportunity?
Well, actually, I found out by complete serendipity about the Next Generation Leadership Program. I had a friend who wanted me to check on a certain website about a deadline. And I found the small link of the NGL program, and I was like, maybe I should check it out.
Gosh, there's a head of communications that warms my heart.
Yes.
That marketing and information actually worked. Fantastic.
It's unbelievable. So I checked out the requirements. It was 2 pages of requirements, and I was like, okay, well, maybe I should give it a try, which I did, obviously.
Right.
And 2 months later, I got the call. So yes, it was by complete serendipity, but I do believe that everything happens for a reason. To answer your question, I did come to the U.S. For the NGL program, but I used to come back and forth for my work.
Right.
And but I've never been to the South. I only went to the bigger cities, D.C., New York, Seattle, California, but never been to the South. So when I found out that the organization I'm going to be working with...
You didn't really have a choice. We said you're headed to Atlanta.
Yes, and I'm like, bring it on. I would love to. So all my friends and people I know here, they were like, oh, are you sure? You're going to the South? And I was like, well, I'm African Moroccan, so I don't think I have anything to fear.
Right.
And I've been all over the United States. But actually, Atlanta now is my favorite city. It just feels like home.
So it sounds like you'll be back in Atlanta. And you were with it. You were with an outfit called Digital Undivided. And I probably should have done more homework. Tell me what Digital Undivided is here.
So Digital Undivided is a startup. It's a social startup promoting and working with women of color, Black and Latinx, who are trying to own their own work. And so Digital Undivided
like
is
entrepreneurs
helping them.
Or,
yes. Yeah. Digital Undivided is helping them through their incubator program. It's a 9-month incubator program for women of color entrepreneurs to help them launch their own tech startups. So that's what I've been doing for the last year.
So how do you think, what did you learn there you think is going to be useful back in Morocco? Or?
Oh, a lot, a lot. I had the great pleasure to interact and to work with a passionate team of people who really believe in the mission that all people should own their work, should have the independence, should have the ability to choose and to chase their dreams, to own their own businesses. So I've been involved with other organizations that do the same thing, but this is kind of a different context, a different environment.
What's the digital part of it? Why do they have digital in their name?
Digital Undivided is basically for tech startups. So okay. the tech piece is actually allowing these entrepreneurs to bring their services or products they're offering with a tech piece into it. So it can be like a regular business, but it has absolutely the technology piece of it.
So you talk about cross sector. I mean, uh-huh. I find that fascinating. So let's talk cross-sector and Morocco and maybe technology.
Sure.
So that's where you were already in that space. That's mm-hmm. where you're going back to. What do you see kind of bringing together then? How do you bring the sectors together? And then is technology going to be a big factor and aspect of that, or the technology industry or sector, I should say?
Sure. So throughout my years of experience, I've been involved with organizations in Europe, whether in Germany, whether in France, in Spain, in the MENA region, and also here in the US. And we all, like all the programs and the projects, they had like different fields of expertise, different focuses, but still they all use technology as a tool to promote their mission, to promote their vision, to get more people involved, and to be useful to the community where the programs or the projects are implemented. So yes, the technology piece, I think it is a powerful tool that we use nowadays. And it's becoming, it's not even an option right now, I believe. It's actually a necessity for people who want to have like a more global reach, I believe. So yes, the technology piece is very crucial. And that is why I'm not sure if I should wait for a leadership action plan question, or I could just...
Well, I think, you know, the kind of actions that you plan to take. Let me come at it this way.
Uh-huh.
So let's kind of connect it directly to Morocco.
Sure.
You know, I think of Morocco and I think of a lot of things. It's a beautiful country. I haven't been. I think of kind of a crossroads country. I think of a country that's, like a lot of countries, pretty important in its region. So you're taking an action plan back there.
Mm-hmm.
Is that accurate? I mean, what are you trying to connect up in there? Is what your action plan going to better connect things that are already underway internationally or from the U.S.?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it really trying to reform from within the country? Or
sure. So, yes, you are right. Morocco is a crossroad between Europe, Africa, the U.S., the Middle East. And that can be well represented in the mixture of our language. Our language is a mixture of a lot of languages. That's why I believe most of the Arab countries don't understand our dialect, but we do understand theirs. So that's a very competitive point right there.
Right.
And I'm not trying to brag or anything, but Morocco has everything. We have the Mediterranean and the Atlantic, the mountains, the lakes, the desert. We have it all.
Right.
And Morocco is usually known for the food. Everyone that I meet, especially here in the US, people are like, where are you from? And when I say Morocco, people are like, oh my God, I like the food. Yes, the food is delicious, but there's even more to that. there's even more in Morocco than actually delicious food and hospitality. Morocco has a lot of potential when it comes to economical opportunities, to investment opportunities. We are attracting a lot of investors because of the stable state that the economy has in Morocco, which is something that people might not necessarily be aware of right now because of all the atrocities and all the things going on right now in the region. But yes, Morocco has a lot of potential when it comes to business, and that is why my leadership action plan is all about bridging, like filling the gap between all these communities through providing a more adjusted, a more welcoming climate for business.
Setting the conditions across the sectors where civil society connects to business, connects to opportunities.
I am currently building with a great team. I am currently building a cross-sector collaboration and partnership platform where we connect entrepreneurs with resources, with access to capital they need, and with the knowledge they need to grow and to achieve high growth companies. So it's called Flagship. So this is
what
I'm
interesting name. I like
yeah. So this is what we are currently building. We're offering a lot of services, like bartering services for startups, like access to vetted mentors, access to masterclasses, leadership masterclasses, like the Train the Trainers kit that we have with the McCain Institute. So it's a lot of opportunities out there. And we are trying to pilot the Flagship, not only in Morocco, but also in the US. So our two pilot sites would be Atlanta and Rabat.
Oh, okay. So this all does come together. Yes. Good thing you've decided Atlanta is one of your absolute favorite cities. It sounds like you're going to be very busy. You're definitely in the arena as we talk about it and have the podcast named after it. And we look forward to having you back again and kind of seeing what
me
all comes
too.
From it.
Me too, Luke. Me too. Thank you so much for having me.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you.
This podcast is produced by Patrick McCann and Justin Kessler. If you like what you hear, please subscribe, tell your friends, or leave a review.